no matter what you're going through. I know that you can stand, for your life is in his hands. Don't you be afraid.
And don't you be afraid.
Joy comes in the morning.
Joy comes in the morning.
Troubles.
Troubles, they don't last always.
For there's
a friend in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Who will wipe your tears away.
And if your heart is broken.
And if your heart is broken.
Just lift your hands and say.
Say,
I know that I can make it.
I know that I
come
can
on with
make it.
I know that I can
I
stand.
Know that I can stand.
No matter what comes
no
my way.
No matter what may come my way.
My life
is in your hands.
See, with Jesus I can
Jesus
make it.
Jesus, I can take it.
With him,
I know I can stand.
No matter what comes
no
my way. So when your tests and trials, they seem to get you down, and all of your friends and loved ones, they are nowhere to be found. But remember that there's a friend in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Who will wipe your tears away?
And if your heart is broken. Just lift your hands and say.
Just lift your
come on, say it with us.
Say,
I know that I can make it.
I know that I
hallelujah.
Can make it.
I know that I can stand.
I know that I can stand.
No matter what comes my way.
No matter what may come my way.
My life
is in your hands.
You see, with Jesus I can make it. So when your tests and trials, they seem to get you down, and all of your friends and loved ones, they are nowhere to be found. But remember that there's a friend in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Who will wipe your tears away?
And if your heart is broken.
Just lift your hands.
No matter what comes my way. Christ. I know that I can stand.
Isn't it awesome to know that your life is in His hands? What a sweet and wonderful peace that we have tonight to know that. Now, tonight we received our launch out into the deep offering, and every first of the month we're going to have the boat out in the foyer, and we'll be talking about this for quite a while. Because it's the will of God for this church to step out into places that are beyond our reach and beyond our understanding and our knowledge. And God wants to take us some places where you and I would never get on our own. But He's opened up a door and issued a challenge to us. And we're excited about that tonight. Now, next Saturday, we're going to be knocking some 10,000 doors in a 3-mile radius around the church here. I've got, Brother Dan has prepared a grid for us with areas cordoned off. And if you'd like to, as Brother Tony, if the, say for example, the young people would like to get the jump on everything else and pick an area that you want, you can come by the office tonight and pick that up. We'll be talking about it Wednesday night. Again, and then we'll have some planning on it Friday evening, and then we'll assault our city. I think it'll be an awesome time of fellowship. The promotional team has produced a nice 4-color flyer, a little brochure, and we're going to put this in a Brother Godwin flyer in a little clear bag and hang it on as many doors as we can hang it on. And we would have put a Brother Hood flyer on there, too, but all we can say now is he's having a baby. And but we love Brother Hood, and we're excited for that addition to their family. But we want you to be in prayer about this. We need prayer because prayer oils and fuels everything that we do. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So Wednesday night, we'll take a little time in the service, and we'll divide up this 3-mile radius into areas, and Saturday morning we'll be ready to attack. Are you feeling okay about that? Are you ready for that? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, happy to have, it's Brother James, right? Happy to have Brother James from Sacramento in the house. You're from the Rock, right? That's what I thought. From that little church there in Sacramento. Are you guys in the new place yet? Yeah. Y'all been almost for a year. The place is incredible. You could set this whole sanctuary on their platform and it would stick out a little bit into their altar area. And the backdrop of it looks like the Acropolis. Looks like Athens. I'm just telling you. And the aisles are wide enough for about five of you to run side by side down the aisles. The first stage will seat 2,500. And you know, I love it when I see people having that kind of revival. I love it when I see that happening anywhere, because I know that if God can do that anywhere, then God can do that anywhere. I know. Praise God. Praise God. So we're excited to have a little Sacramento in the house. It's good to see Sister Emily. Her family they've been off ministering now in Bessemer. And they're a tremendous blessing and have been a great blessing to this fellowship. And we appreciate them tonight. Praise the Lord. We're in Psalms 95. And we're going to work a little bit in this psalm tonight on this Labor Day Eve, when people are taking off work and planning on family gatherings and riding all over the country. But I just thought it's good for us to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And you never know what God's going to do in any given service. Praise God. Psalms 95. And would you say, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice." Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. And if you love his word, let's give him thanks and praise for his word this evening. Forever settled in the heavens, we praise you, mighty God. We bless your name, O God. We worship you. We lift you up. We magnify you, Lord God. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, this psalm is a psalm of two parts. And it is two parts in contrast, if you would. It's two parts that swing on a hinge or a break point of a word that is a tiny word, but a powerful word. And a tiny word, but a very important word. And the word that this psalm breaks on, and it's the place where it swings like on a hinge from one segment to the other, is the word "if." Today, if you will hear his voice. And that word "if" is salted throughout the word of God and is ignored by our modern quasi-Christian world, but it always is there. In every covenant there is an "if," and in every contract there is an "if," and in every dealing with God, man always has an "if." Praise God. If you'll stay away from that tree and dress this garden, you can live here. And if you will build a boat, and if you will get your family on it, I'll deliver you when I destroy the world. And if, and you're aware of all the ifs, and the ifs continue throughout the New Testament, but we don't want to focus so much on the if tonight, except just to say that it is the swing point, the hinge, the apex, the shifting and transition point of this Psalms. Praise God. Two parts connected by "if." Now, where we didn't read down below the "if," there is an admonition and there is a warning to the people of God. beginning in verse 7. He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand today, if you will hear his voice. Beginning in verse 8, an admonition to the people that they remember what happened to the generation that traveled with Moses. Harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. One of the most depressing, one of the hardest and most difficult and saddest days in all of Israel's history is the day they did not go into promise, but rather the day that they turned and began a 40-year sojourn unto death, walking under the miracle of God, the power of God so strong their clothes didn't wear out. The power of God so strong their shoes didn't wear out. The manna in the tabernacle never got old and never got wormy. And God's presence was there. The fire by night, the cloud by day, water from a rock, surrounded by blessings, surrounded by promise, but never entering into the promise of God because of hardness of heart and because of unbelief. They wouldn't enter in. Somebody say they would not enter in. And as we follow that, it extends itself into the dialogue and into the discussion in the New Testament. And as we follow that, it is quoted by the New Testament writers. In Hebrews chapter 3, we find the New Testament writer picks up on this psalmist's admonition, chapter 3 and verse 7 in Hebrews. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, everybody say, as the Holy Ghost saith. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says today, if you will hear his voice. Holy Ghost is talking today. Holy Ghost was talking back then. Holy Ghost has always been talking to men, but the wild card is anybody listening? Holy Ghost said today, if you will hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. The implication here is that the hardness of your heart is contingent upon your will. When God says, don't harden your heart, he has voiced that the hardness of your heart is a function not of circumstance, nor of childhood experience, nor of the rough road that you've had to travel, nor of the terrible circumstances or trials of your life. But he said, harden not your heart. Then there's a choice, and it's in my court of play, and I've got to make a decision whether or not I'll hear the Holy Ghost or I'll harden my heart against him. Harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, when they provoked God, in the day of temptation, when they tempted God, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved. This is the Holy Ghost talking. Now this is the same God that spoke in the Old Testament. This is the Holy Ghost talking. Same Holy Ghost talking. Old Testament, New Testament. Because there's only one that's holy. Praise God. I was grieved with that generation, the Holy Ghost said. They always err in their heart, the Holy Ghost said. They have not known my ways, the Holy Ghost said. So the Holy Ghost swore. And he said, I'm mad. And he said, I swore in my wrath. The Holy Ghost got hacked off. Well, I thought that was the God of the Old Testament. Same God. Same God yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. There is no variableness, neither shadow of turning in him. Holy Ghost is hacked off. I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. They are at the banks of the Jordan, but they're not going in. The cloud is over them, but they're not going in. The manna is on their table, but they're not going in. They came out of Egypt, but they're not going in. They sat in tutelage at Sinai, but they're not going in. They were anointed there when the spirit of Moses came off Moses and got on the 70, but they're not going in because of hardness of heart. And because of unbelief, surrounded by the promise of God, walking in the wilderness, the Holy Ghost said, they still look like the church, but they're not going in. They still carry the word, but they're not going in. They still have the tabernacle, and they speak the language, and they've got the priesthood, and they are, and they look like, and they seem to be the church, but they're not going in. That's right, and that's scary. That you could be the church and just wandering around in circles of carnality, wandering around in circles of hardness of heart, wandering around in circles of unbelief, satisfied with the meager little bit of manna and never wanting to go over into promise. The Holy Ghost said, I'm mad. I'm steaming about that. He said, I'm not going to let them go into my rest. Praise God. And then the writer of the New Testament says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Some people think a service like this tonight is a throwaway service. Some people think that, well, we're just about half staff tonight, and it's holiday tomorrow, and people are traveling, everybody's got their mind on something else. But there is no such thing as a throwaway service in the kingdom of God. The Holy Ghost says, take heed, brethren. The same Holy Ghost that said that to Israel said, now take heed, brethren. I know it's the writer of the book of Hebrews, but it's the same Holy Ghost prompting. Holy men of old were moved on by the Holy Ghost, and they said what God needed saying. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, he's talking to the church, a heart of unbelief. He's talking to the church in departing from the living God, because you can live under the shadow of the cloud and the fire, and you can have the tabernacle in your presence, and you can have, could I break it down? You can have the name of Jesus, and you can have the Holy Ghost, and you can talk in tongues because the charismatics are doing it all over Birmingham, and you can wander in a wilderness and never enter into promise. He said, be careful. You don't want that stinking heart of unbelief. But exhort one another, encourage one another today while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Because a little bit of sin seems like something you can get by with. And a little bit of sin seems like something, well, God didn't kill me. My family didn't die. I didn't lose my job. I'm involved in a little bit of sin. The judgment hadn't come down. It might be better for us if God would just slap us every time we thought a rogue thought, or we stuck our hand into something where it shouldn't go. There's that thing all woven through the word of God about the freedom of your will and choice. And God won't commandeer your spirit, but rather God will stand back and let you make your choices. The deceitfulness of sin will harden your heart. Everybody say, sin will harden my heart. Every time you touch it, your heart gets a little harder. Every time you walk into it, your heart gets a little harder. Every time you resist God, another callous forms on your heart. Unbelief and hardness of heart, those were the things that caused them not to enter in. For we are made partakers of Christ, verse 14, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, Harden not your hearts as in the days. And now he's talking to the New Testament church. Harden not your hearts. Don't you sit in a service and bow up to the Holy Ghost. Don't you hear the word of God and resist the word of God. Don't you hear the promise of God and... He said, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not, unbelief and hardness of heart. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. We're talking about launching out into the deep. We're going out to knock the doors of our city. We're having revival in the nursery, and we're talking about raising these babies up in an apostolic church. We're coming here together, each man and woman bringing their little piece of fire, and we're trying to build a conflagration in the Holy Ghost that'll set a city on fire. But we can't go the way of this Old Testament church. They couldn't enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Praise God. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Praise God. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Another New Testament writer and another New Testament passage. And he's talking about the same crowd and the same circumstance and the same failure to enter in and the same connectedness between the Old Testament character and the New Testament church. 10:1. Moreover, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant how all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They had an experience that was comparable to baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They were in the covenant of God and did all eat the same spiritual meat. They drank of the same drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples. They are our examples. Would you say these things are our examples? To the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They got involved with their world. They began to follow after their world. They were impacted by the world around them and the cultures around them. And they thought it was cute to worship the gods of those that were around them. And they began to find themselves estranged from God. Verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happened unto them for examples. Would you say they are our examples? And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. My God, let me tell you, as strong as you'll ever be, it's still a tenuous position when you're talking about your ability and your flesh and your capacities and your desires. I need a whole lot of God in my life. I need a whole lot of God in my house. I need God. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He said, don't be like them. But here he says, you don't have to be like them, because there was no temptation that I want you to know that in the middle of that generation that died, there was a Moses that walked with God. In the middle of that generation that died, there was a Joshua who finally went over. In the middle of that generation of hardness and unbelief, there was a Caleb. And as soon as the smoke cleared at 80 years of age, he said, now all the unbelief is dead. Now give me my mountain. I want you to know that in the midst of a troubled generation, you can live for God. You can have the promise of God. You can walk in the promise of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's take a moment, clap our hands unto him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Tell somebody by you, I'm not letting my heart get hard. Tell somebody else, I'm not going to walk in a spirit of unbelief. And tell them when it's time to cross into promise, I'm going over. I'm going over. I don't know about you, but I'm going over. I don't know if you're coming or not, but I'm going over. I don't know if you're going to walk this or not, but I'm going over. Because the Holy Ghost, I hear the judgment. I hear the anger. I hear his wrath. I hear his pronouncement of judgment. But I also hear him opening the door of free choice when he said, don't harden your heart. Be careful of that unbelief. When he says that, he's telling me no temptation is going to come on me that is bigger than I can bear. I want you to know God has made a way for me. I don't have to die in the wilderness, but I can go on in to a land in the Holy Ghost full of milk and honey. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in just some old religious circle. I don't want to live in some old dead religion. I want to go into the promise of God. Somebody say pray. Anybody want to go? Anybody want to launch out? Let's just see what God will do in Birmingham. Why don't we bounce off the walls and see if he'll do something he's never done before? My God, my God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Are you okay? Praise God. I'm not going to go a long time tonight. Unless just fire starts falling and prophecy starts moving. Holy Ghost starts. Because I don't care about the clock and I don't care about the schedule. I do care about a fresh moving of oil and Holy Ghost and fire. I tell you with all my heart tonight, my prayer is this, that every hardened heart would break, that every spirit of unbelief would be shattered, that every resistant soul would wave their flag of surrender and come and bow a knee before God and say, God, I really do want to live for you. I really don't want to die in the wilderness. I don't have to die in the wilderness. I don't have to die in the wilderness. Harden not your heart. They did, but you don't have to. Don't fail the promise because of unbelief. They did, but you don't have to. You got a choice tonight. We've got a choice corporately tonight. As a church, we can be an old humdum, dead, dry religion, or we can be the lively, living church of the living God. We can have fire in every service and anointing on every ministry. It's a choice. But when the Holy Ghost comes and the Holy Ghost talks, harden not your heart. It's a death sentence. Harden not your heart. Talk to me, God. When you feel a bump, move. when you feel a, well, I would have stood, but nobody else was standing. Oh, brother, stand. Well, I would have shouted, but nobody else was shouting. Oh, sister, shout. Well, I would have talked in tongues, but nobody else was. Oh, don't worry about it. When the Holy Ghost talks, when the Holy Ghost speaks, when God begins to move on you, you don't harden your heart. Praise God. I want to hear from him. I want to respond to him. Praise God. The first part of this psalm is two parts. The latter part is the judgment of the unbelieving and the hard of heart and those who close their ear to the Holy Ghost and resist the Holy Ghost and fail to enter into promise. But the first part is full of revelation and a remedy for unbelief and revelations that insulate against hardness of heart. Praise God. The first part of this psalm is chocked full of revelation that protects your spirit from unbelief. Praise God. And it's a neat thing that he's done in the psalm, because he gave the condition of a backslidden Israel, but he gave the antidote for it in the first stanza, the first half of this psalm. Praise God. Praise God. For those from Sacramento, these revelations keep you in alignment and keep you in rhythm and keep you in position. And I don't know, I thank God for all the preachers that have touched this church family. I thank God for the revelatory word that has moved in this house and that is yet to be spoken here. I thank God for it. Praise God. I want to hear it. My God, I want to hear it. Praise God. Praise God. You know what I believe tonight? You guys are just passing through town, but I believe there's a revelatory word in the house for you tonight. There's folks that are just visitors here from South Louisiana. I don't know what you're doing or where you're going, or I don't know what you're going to do with your life, but I believe there's a revelatory word in the house for you tonight. Praise God. For every backslider in the house, there's a revelatory word. For every hard of heart and every resistant to God, there's a revelatory word in this house tonight that has the capacity to change your spiritual fortune in one. Don't tell me about it's just one night. Let me tell you what God can do in one night. God can bring a nation out in one night. God can change a destiny in one night. God can shape your life in one night. Praise God. Praise God. In the beginning of the psalm, there's a revelation of exuberant praise. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise unto the rock of my salvation. You see the juxtaposition of these two ideas, and they are antithetical one to the other. You've got a crowd that couldn't worship God if you held a gun to their head. But you've got another one in the beginning that's saying, come on, join with me. Let's sing and praise and make a loud noise unto the rock of our salvation. Can I tell you tonight, this is the antidote to hardness of heart. This is the remedy for unbelief. You need to have a revelation of worship. You need to have a revelation of praise. You gotta have a revelation of the mighty God in Christ, the rock of our salvation. He says, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Friend of mine, you ought not need a great preacher. You ought not need a great choir. You ought not need a great praise group. If you're in a storefront and there's 10 of you, but you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you ought to be able to have yourself a shouting time. That is a revelation. You're not hearing it. That is a revelation. you can become a Pentecostal connoisseur of singing and preaching, and you find yourself sitting here saying, "Ah, well, if it's Jeff Arnold preaching tonight, or if it's Nate Wilson preaching tonight, or if it's Larry Booker preaching tonight, maybe they'd move me a little bit." But oh, it ought to be enough that you got your name on the roll, and you got your foot on the rock, and you've got a rock of salvation in your life. Oh, come, let us sing praise unto the rock of our salvation. I want you just for a minute, think about where he found you. Think about where you might be tonight. Think about where you were heading. Think about a hell full of misery and despair. And think about the blood of Jesus. Think about a Savior on a cross. Think about how far he came to redeem our souls. Oh, go ahead. We got time. Give him praise. I don't need music, and I don't need a band, and I don't need a choir, and I don't even need a preacher. He has become the rock of my salvation. Clap your hands. Praise God. Shake somebody and tell them, "I'm just glad they let me in. Tell somebody, "I'm just glad to be a part of the church." Shake somebody else and tell them, "Tell hell I'm not coming." I got my foot on the rock. I got my name on the roll. Got Jesus in my heart. Salvation in my soul. That's all I need. That's all I need. That's all I need. Everything else is lanyap. Everything else is something extra. When David is backslidden, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." You sitting in an apostolic church on a Sunday night with your mouth all drawn up, and you look like you've lost your last friend or your dog died or something like that. Restore, God, unto this poor darling the joy of their salvation. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? Don't you get it? You've got everything that Israel had and then more, because you're ahead of them on the dialectic of God. You've got more, and it's more powerful than what they had. But they got tired of what they had, tired of the manna, tired of just being saved. They wanted more money, bigger houses, finer cars, better. They wanted to be like the Philistines and the Canaanites. And just being saved didn't get them off anymore. And their joy became dependent on all the stuff and all the junk and the affirmation of people around them. If they didn't get a pat on the back and a, "Oh, you're so wonderful." Say it again. Then their joy ran out their boot. But my joy is tied to one thing. My joy is tied to the fact that he's coming and I'm going. My joy is tied to the fact that I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. World didn't give that to me. The world can't take that away. My God. Why do you think Paul's able to say, "I've been abased and I've abounded, but I've learned in whatever state I find myself therein to be content"? How can he say that? How can they sing chained to the wall of a dungeon? Because their joy is rooted in nothing but their salvation. When you get a revelation of this, all the blessings in the world can come, but it doesn't add anything to the rudimentary joy that flows. He said, "I'll be in you a river of living water." Praise God. My God. My God. But you start letting that world influence you. You start putting your foot out there You start getting carnal. I'm telling you, your heart's growing hard. Your heart's growing hard. Unbelief is raising itself up in your life. It ought to be enough that you're saved and that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That's a revelation that'll keep you. Praise God. Verse 2. We don't ever want to be casual in this house about worship. We want to be ferocious about worship. Why you got to be so proactive and so aggressive in your worship? Because we've been washed by the blood. Praise God. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Yeah, I am, I am. In the blood, in the sin cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Praise God. Are you glad for that tonight? Is that the source of your joy? That is a revelation. That's a revelation. If Sister Bonnie was all together, we'd have her sing, "The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away." Praise God. Verse 2, there's a revelation in this psalm of thanksgiving. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Say it. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. I'm thankful tonight. There's a revelation of thankfulness. Praise God. A thankful heart never forgets God. A thankful heart always keeps right perspective, and a thankful heart never gets mired down in negativism. Praise God. A thankful heart. I'll tell you something, gentlemen. If every day of your life you get up and as a normal part of your prayer, you thank God for your wife, you won't be an adulterer. Your heart won't get hard toward her. I tell you what, lady, you need to get up every day and thank God for that man in your life. Well, praise God and give God praise and thanks for him, because the things you are thankful for are things that grow and root themselves and prosper in your spirit and in your heart. Praise God. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Israel wasn't thanking God. They were murmuring against God. They were griping about what they had. They were lifting up their complaint to God. My God, if I could lift every murmurer up in Birmingham and drop them in the dump in Guatemala City, or if I could make them live in a barrio in Quezon City in the Philippines for a few weeks, or if I could just cause them to change places with this little kid I saw on the street of Manila, and he and his little brother are there and they're begging, and they got one pair of flip-flops between them, and that asphalt is about 9,000 degrees, and this kid would stand on the flip-flop holding his brother while he begged, and then when he got so tired he couldn't hold his brother, he'd put his brother on the flip-flops and he'd stand there like this until he got so tired he couldn't do that. And you're griping, and you got a gripe, and Jimmy Green's not in the house tonight. Let me just tell you something. Next time you feel a spirit of gripe and murmur and complaint come on you, I want you to just slide over here and sit down by Brother Jimmy and think about 20 years in a chair and 20 years where this is all the movement you got in your body. Lighten up. Give thanks to God. As you begin to have a thankful heart, things begin to look better all around you. A thankful heart is a remedy against forgetting God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for my kids. Thank God for my church. Thank God for the people in this church. God, you're so good to me, to put me in this church. Thank God for Dawson and for Becky and for Amber and for Patience and Elise. And thank God for all these. My God, I'm so glad. You know what? If you thank God for people and you call them by name and thank God for them, it's hard to start having hard feelings about them. Thankfulness dispels a hardness of heart. Thankfulness will dispel unbelief. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's do a little workshop right now before we go any further. Just lift up your hands, and I want you to tell God five or six things you're really, really thankful for. Praise God. Now, as you do it, he said, let's come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with praise. So as you're thanking him, I mean really thank him, man. Make a little noise in the presence of God as you give him thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, if you've got a thankful heart, it's hard for hardness to make its way in. If you've got a thankful heart, it's hard for unbelief to begin to spread its tentacles through your spirit and in your heart. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him a thankful heart never forgets God. Tell him a thankful heart will keep you in a right perspective. Tell him you'll never get sour and bitter if you have a thankful heart. Praise God. You develop thankfulness, your friends won't know what happened to you. They'll say, what happened to you? You're so sweet. Praise God. Praise God. Revelation number 3, verses 3 through 5. For the Lord is a great God. Everybody say, God's a great God. And a great king above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry ground. Praise God. Now, I'm not going to rehearse what we did this morning because it's quite similar to this passage, but you need to remember and have a revelation of the greatness of God. Praise God. Brother Bert's talking about this morning, and I called a lot of stuff there. I called Steinbeck's The Pearl, where a man goes to the sea, and in the mysterious depth of the sea, he pulls out a pearl of great price, and it costs him almost everything in his life, and he hurls it back into the sea. And the writer Steinbeck is making commentary on the fact that men's dreams and men's destinies are linked with the sea. And Walt Whitman, as a young boy, walked down to the beach, and he saw the long, what he called the long white arms of the sea. And he talked about out of the cradle endlessly rocking, that the sea was the source of everything that lives and breathes on the earth. And he's talking about the mysterious, unplumbed depth of the sea, and just... on and on, these modern writers and artists are trying to touch the powerful themes of life, and they always go back to the deep, mysterious, frightening, raging, uncontrollable, unconquerable sea. And as they go back there, they touch the ultimate and the seminal qualities and themes of life when they go back there. But this scripture, like the ones we dealt with this morning, said you need to remember this. Everybody say, I need to remember this. That the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is His also. Turn to your neighbor and point your finger at him and say, the sea is His. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. My God, don't you understand that if God made the earth and the sea and all that in them is, that He can take care of your little life and your little circumstance and your little problem and the difficulties that rise up in your life? It is a revelation to know that God has it all in control. That there's nobody like God. There's nobody like God. And God has power enough and to spare. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right now, in the middle of your problem, I want you to lift up your hand and I want you to begin to tell whatever's listening out there, I've got a problem, but God is bigger than my problem. I've got a difficulty, but God is greater than my difficulty. I've got an enemy, but no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I've got a revelation of the greatness of God, and there's none like Him. There's none like Him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 6, you need a revelation of the meekness and a sense of reverence in the presence of God. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. A few weeks ago, we dealt with David's psalm in the 80s where he said, David, the lion killer, the giant killer, the psalmist of Israel and the anointed king, greatest king of Israel and the beginning of the throne of Christ. And he comes before God and says, I am poor and needy. Praise God. It's important for you in the midst of your success and in the midst of your masculine achievements, and in the midst of your proud life, that you don't forget to come to an altar regularly and say, I am poor and needy. I need God, because everything I've earned is by the hand of God. And every good thing in my life is from the hand of God. The very breath I breathe, my heart beat, it all comes from the hand of God. Oh, come, let us kneel down, show ourselves humble in His presence, and worship the Lord. I need a regular routine of worship. I need to train myself in worship. I can't be sporadic to the house of God. I'll have a heart of unbelief. I can't be casual about being in the house of God. I'll grow a hard heart that can't hear the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you what'll keep you pliable. The psalmist said, come on, let us gather down in a place and kneel before Him and bow down before Him and worship Him. Praise God. I need a revelation of meekness and reverence in the presence of God. Praise God. I'm almost done. Why don't we do a workshop on that? Why don't we all come down around the altar right now? Praise God. Praise God. And as you get here, why don't you just begin to say, God, You've been good to me, but I am poor and needy. I need You, God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Holy Ghost is saying today, if you can hear his voice, harden not your heart as you did in the days of provocation, where they tempted me, they tried me, they proved me for 40 years. And I swear in my wrath, they won't enter into my promise. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Would you turn to somebody there near you and would you just tell them, I am poor, I am needy. Would you pray for me? I need you to pray for me. I need God to move in my life. I need somebody to pray a prayer of faith in my life. Hallelujah. God. Now, the final revelation in this psalm is found in verse 7. For he is our God. Would you say that? And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if we will hear his voice, praise God, praise God. There's a revelation of a shepherd's and a sheep's relationship. Praise God, praise God. David had the understanding. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Praise God. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Praise God. David said, it is so powerful, this link that I have with my shepherd, that even though he leads me through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid, because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Praise God. He said, I'm getting excited about it. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He said he's got a big anointing cup and he just pours it over my head. I've got a relationship. God is my shepherd. Praise God. Praise God. In the 40th chapter of Isaiah, this is a prophecy concerning John the Baptist, and it speaks of our shepherd. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that brings good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. His arms shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, this God of Israel. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, this God of Israel. Carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. So they won't follow after another. They know my voice. The Holy Ghost is talking in this house tonight. If you will hear his voice, praise God. There are revelations here for us. I don't want to grow hard. Praise God. Now, fellas, there's probably better men here than I am, but I'm a man's man. But I don't want to be so manly that I can't weep and touch God and be touched of God. If you can't pray in public, you're a pansy. You're not a man. You're a wuss. And we'll open up a spot for you over here in the ladies' section. Now, you're getting a little hot and bothered now. But you don't want none of this. God, I want us to hear his voice. Nobody can do this for you. You got to drop your shield. I know you've been beat around. I know you've been hurt. I know you've been disappointed. But God won't disappoint you. God, listen to me. God won't disappoint you. I know you've been wounded. You've been betrayed. You've lived a hard time of it. But God won't let you down. You've got to drop your shield. You've got to be open. This is the position of God concerning you. You've got to have that openness and that vulnerability before God. Praise God. Praise God. Would you join yourself with somebody? Lay your hand on somebody or take somebody by the hand. And let's just begin to praise him and worship him. Whatever is resonating in your spirit right now, in a heart of thankfulness, a heart of praise and worship, to magnify him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to enumerate all the wonderful things God is doing in your life. All together. Hey, mighty God, here I am. Praise God. Press in. I'll never know. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. To see my sins. Oh, somebody praise him. Church right now. We need a Holy Ghost breakout right now. Somebody can get the Holy Ghost right now. I never know. Pray, church. Holy Ghost prayer. Holy Ghost prayer. Holy Ghost prayer.